Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are broadcasting live from the 9th Annual Columbus Public Health Department's Farmers Market at the Health Department headquarters at 240 Parsons Avenue. We'll be here for 2 hours. Drop by. Everybody is welcome. And say hello and check out the beautiful produce on sale here. This is the first of 3 markets this summer. For more information, check out the link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. And this is our 3rd year in a row at this farmer's market. And I have to say, it's the most perfect weather we've had so far. It's absolutely exquisite outside right now. If you just like to walk around fruit and vegetables and nice people, this is the place to be. The market today is filled with beautiful vegetables and fruits. And joining me today to talk about what to do with them is Robin Davis. She's an author of 2 books and food editor at the Columbus Dispatch. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you so much. It is a gorgeous day out here.
It makes you want to see when it's really, really hot. I'm not so big into cooking outdoors and it just kind of affects my, but this is perfect.
It makes me want to buy everything. It makes me want to cook everything that's here. Yeah, it's perfect, perfect weather.
So we were going to talk about cooking with some of this stuff, and you and I talked a little bit about it last year, and we always talk a little bit about it, it seems like, but grilling fruit.
Right. Grilling fruit is really underutilized. It's something people don't do enough of. And I took a look at these peaches that are here, and that to me is about the best thing that you can grill. I just cut them in half, you know, remove the pits, brush them with maybe a little bit of vegetable oil, throw them on the hot grate of a grill. And you can do this before or after you cook whatever, you know, your protein is, if you're cooking a meat, or just do it, fire up the grill just for this. Take them off, put a little scoop of ice cream or Greek yogurt, a little bit of honey. It's so good. It adds a smoky flavor, softens the fruit just a little bit, and brings all those sugars to the top to caramelize.
So you do just cut them in half. You want that bulk to it.
That's what I do with it. And I don't turn them over. Some people do and get both sides. But you could also, and this is what I do with berries, is put them in a foil package, you know, with a little bit of sugar, maybe a little red wine, and then fold it up like you do a hobo pack, or, you know, if you're French, you would call it en papillote. you know, so, but it's great, and throw them on and until the berries start to break down. Fantastic on pound cake or angel food cake or yogurt. Again, really delicious.
Any other fruits in the summertime, or any fruits? Bananas?
Oh, you can do bananas for sure. And then you can also do apples. Apples are terrific. I do the same thing I do with peaches, or maybe cut them even into slices because they're a little bit sturdier than peaches, especially this year's beautiful, juicy Ohio peaches.
This is incredible this year.
I tell everyone, you know, you have to keep me away from the peach stand because I'll buy 30 at a time because I can't say no. I just want them all. A beautiful, beautiful year for them. But apples, yeah, absolutely. Cut them into thick slices. Get some nice grill marks on them. You can also try putting them on skewers. Peaches and apples work great on skewers. I have a recipe running next week in the Dispatch food section that alternates layers of steak and peach slices. So just throw them on. They cook about the same amount of time. I mean, you're really cooking the meat. You're not cooking the fruit at all. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and my guest is Robin Davis, food editor at the Columbus Dispatch. We are broadcasting live from the 9th Annual Columbus Public Health Department's Farmers Market at the Health Department headquarters at 240 Parsons Avenue. We'll be here for a couple hours. I hope you'll join us. It's a beautiful day out. If you have a great summer produce recipe that you'd like to share, however simple it might be, or if it's really, really complicated, maybe you can just give an idea of it, give us a call, 614-292-8513. That's 614-292-8513. Give us a call and tell us about it, and we'll get you on the air. So what inspired me to bring up grilled peaches today was this recipe for grilled peach and mozzarella salad. Doesn't that sound good?
It sounds so good, so good. You know, I talked about the peaches being dessert, but throwing them in a salad, and especially with, you know, the little bits of fresh mozzarella, the creaminess with the grilled flavors, the sweetness, it sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
What kind of dressing were they talking about?
Because
I would do a balsamic vinaigrette, I think, because the peaches for sure can stand up to it. And if you use a white balsamic vinegar, then you won't worry about coloring the mozzarella.
It says a peach puree dressing with lime juice, green onions, honey, and cumin is the ultimate kicker to this knockout salad.
I love it. I think that sounds great. And, you know, that's a great way to use peaches that maybe are a day or two beyond or they have some bruises on them. Throw them in the blender, and then you can add your oil, your lime juice, everything else you need, and still get that great peach flavor.
Then I was thinking about what to sprinkle on top. Maybe a little diced up, real small diced up beets.
Oh, beets would be fantastic. I'm a huge fan of beets. Yeah. But you could also do something like, you know, pepitas. You could do, that, or pistachios would be good to give it a little bit of a crunch.
Yeah.
Now
Robin
I'm hungry.
And I just sit here and get hungry together. That's actually what we do. And we will race away and eat as soon as we can. Tomato and corn. Once again, tomatoes looking beautiful. I'm not getting a lot on my plants yet, but they're ripening a little, I think, slowly this year.
They are. It's still a little bit early for tomatoes. I think we often forget, you know, there really is a season to everything, and tomatoes should be coming in August. There are a handful of tomatoes here. There are some cherry tomatoes, and those are still really good.
And a lot of the farmers and stuff, they are growing them in their greenhouses.
Exactly. And so they're able to get, because I've heard universally from backyard gardeners that, no, I don't have any yet, or mine are green.
But I'm eating the little ones right off the vine.
Right. And how can you not? Right. How can you not? And that's what I do. When I'm at these markets, I'll get a bag of the cherry tomatoes, and then I just eat them like candy.
Right.
I do.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, corn and tomatoes together, wow.
Tomato and corn pizza. Spread pesto and fresh veggies and cheeses on a pre-baked pizza crust, or whatever you want to do for a fresh, simple meal. Now, you suggested grilling the pizza. Tell me how you do that. I've never done that before.
Well, you know, you start with your pizza dough, and you can purchase pizza dough from your favorite pizzeria. You can also get it at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's. You take it, stretch it out, make sure that you've got, some cornmeal underneath it.
Okay.
Just slide it onto your hot grill. Make sure it's nice and oiled. And then I take it off. I flip it over, and on the grilled side, then I put all the stuff I'm going to put on. You know, the pesto would be great because you really don't want to cook the pesto. And then you want to do your corn and tomatoes, your cheese. Then put it back so that the uncooked side is down on the grill.
Okay.
Then close your grill. You're going to get melted cheese. The crust is going to cook. You're going to have this beautiful smoky flavor. And it's going to be terrific. And you can put whatever you want on the pizza. It'll work beautifully.
Okay.
And then just, slide it off.
That's how to make a grilled pizza. And there was a tip with this recipe, one which I've always wondered about, how much fresh corn you can get from an ear of a corn. And it says one medium-sized fresh corn yields about half cup of kernels, which is good to know.
It is good to know, but I think that's because about half a cup ends up on the floor when you cut them off.
Right. That takes into account, I hope. Drinks in the summer.
There are so many things, and we tend to not think about that. We were talking a little bit about this. Cucumbers are so fantastic. Even if you just take a cucumber and you slice it up and put it in ice water, you know, then you've given your ice water something that's a little bit better flavor. But why not take it another level? Maybe do a little cucumber puree, put a little bit of ginger in, turn it into an alcoholic drink, put a little bit of vodka, any of that. They make beautiful, beautiful drinks. Limes, do a limeade, add a little bit of gin or vodka to that, and you can make a lime margarita.
Vodkas are obviously like diamonds.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's true. And then think about your melons, too. Watermelon, non-alcoholic or alcoholic drinks. You can take watermelon and mint, puree it, maybe shake it in a cocktail shaker with ice and strain that. It's really delicious.
Yeah, it says, it says watermelons are a classic summer roadstand fruit that sometimes goes to waste because they are so large.
Mm-hmm.
So use the leftover for that.
Absolutely. I want to say there's only so much watermelon you can eat, but I've yet to reach that point. But you do end up sometimes with a little bit left that maybe you don't know what to do with. Puree it. Put a little even sparkling water in it. It makes a fantastic drink. And watermelon's great when it's hot. It just is a natural cooler.
I want some recipes, people. No one is calling in with recipes, and I know you have them. I know you have your favorite summer recipes that you use with fresh produce. Give us a call and share it. If you don't want to share the whole recipe because you're that kind of a person, you can at least describe it to us, and we'll do our best. 614-292-8513, or email us at we are not taking emails today. I'm sorry. Just give us a call, 614-292-8513. You know, there are some recipes people say, hey, I love that. Can I have that? It's like, yeah, sure, I'll get it to you.
And then they
and
don't.
I never do. No, me.
Oh, you don't send it
and
to
I
them?
Never do. And I don't know if that's like a subconscious playing it close to the vest or what.
Do you not want to or do you just forget?
That's the other problem. I might be just forgetting.
Well, I have some readers like that, that they'll send me something, but they're like, well, I have to leave out the key ingredient. And I'm like, why? Why do you have to do that? I just think sometimes people are a little bit like that. They're very personal with their recipes. They really like, they like to keep them close. I give all my recipes away. If there's anything you want to know, I just, you can have it.
That's your stock and trade.
You can have that. I'll come up with something else.
You've written 2 books now.
I've actually written a total of 5.
I apologize.
No, that's okay.
2 since I've known you.
Yeah,
how about
yes,
that?
There yeah. we go. There we go. I did the North Market Cookbook here, and then I did Recipe for Joy, which came out in March, which is more of a memoir than a food story. It's a story of food and faith. I do end every chapter with a recipe because I think if I'm involved in something, there's going to be food one way or another. So, yeah.
Oh, let's see. We've got Zach. I'm coming, putting you on the air. Hi, Zach. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Actually, this is like the third time I've been on your show. It's wonderful.
Wow.
My wife and I grill a lot. We've got a smoker that we use lump charcoal, and I obviously pretty much just eat meat. But right at the end of grilling the meat, when the grill's really hot, she'll drizzle olive oil over lettuce or a head of lettuce cut in half and throw that on the grill and then use locally sourced, you know, organic produce like tomatoes, peppers, carrots, and a bunch of other stuff, and kind of just grills the lettuce on there and then tosses the fresh produce in with the lettuce and drizzles it with like a vinaigrette. And it makes a really good grilled salad, and it's really inexpensive, and then chops up the meat really fine and throws it on top of the salad like salmon or shrimp or chicken. And all of that kind of stuff you can get locally, maybe not the salmon and shrimp, but the chicken. So, just a really cheap, easy summer recipe with locally sourced organic produce that we get at our farmer's market.
Oh, that sounds delicious. That sounds really great. I love the idea of grilling lettuce, and it's definitely something we don't think about because you think lettuce is so delicate. But if you use, like, head lettuce, it'll all stay together. And just what great flavors then to go with your grilled meats.
I thought she was crazy when I did it the first time.
Until
like,
you ate it,
grill?
Right?
Yeah, and it's delicious. I'm a salad eater now.
Well, and see, it's a great way to make your salad a little bit more interesting and kind of integrate those flavors.
Absolutely.
All
well, thank
right.
you.
Zach, thank you for calling. 614-292-8513. We're looking for your summer produce recipes if you want to share them. We are all ears today. My guest is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. If you're hearing some background noise. We are at the broadcasting live from the 9th Annual Columbus Public Health Health Department's Farmers Market at the Health Department headquarters at 240 Parsons Avenue. You can check out our link. Check out the link at our website at wosu.org/allsides for more information. Everybody is welcome. This is the first of 3 markets this summer down here at the health department. So check it out. Join us. 614-292-8513 if you want to share a recipe. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are broadcasting live from the 9th Annual Columbus Public Health Department's Farmers Market at the Health Department headquarters at 240 Parsons Avenue. Everyone is welcome. This is the first of 3 markets for the season. For more information, go to the link at our website at wosu.org/allsides. We're talking about cooking with fresh produce today. Still with me, Robin Davis from the Columbus Dispatch. And dropping in for a quick chat, and callers, please stay with us. I will get to every one of you because I want to hear every one of those recipes. is Dr. Teresa Long. She's the health commissioner for the City of Columbus. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, and good morning to each of you.
Thank you.
So glad you're here. You maybe brought this weather. It is a glorious.
It's the most perfect
glorious day. And we are already, of course, our farmers are already busy. The fruits, the vegetables, they are beautiful. And so is the crowd. It's an amazing crowd. We do have just, you know, a few little lines, but there's plenty of food available, fresh foods. So we would encourage everybody to come on down. And, of course, it's our 9th annual, and we're excited. We usually serve about 10,000 people over the three events.
Wow. Why did you decide to put this on in the first place?
Well, a great question. Actually, we started 9 years ago and actually thinking ahead about that. And what we realized both in our neighborhood, our historic Old Town East, close to the downtown, was there really isn't a grocery store. And there really isn't a place to get during the week. We love the North Market, et cetera, but it's not necessarily where this neighborhood would go. So indeed, with our WIC program that serves 36,000 moms and infants, we realized that here is an opportunity both to support our WIC program to give them access to fresh fruits and vegetables, but also all of our neighbors, our staff, our colleagues. So in fact, it was born probably almost 10 years ago in thinking it through. It's quite a logistics effort to get it done. But indeed, we have been welcoming anywhere from 16 to 20 farmers every time. They generally sell out. So it is a win-win-win for everyone. But it's all about each of us getting fresh fruits and vegetables, sometimes learning how to cook with the fresh vegetables, really important. Though I actually got to taste.
What are you doing?
Is, if you have never had, and I actually, it's something that I had never done before, before a farmer's market, is to eat fresh corn on the cob.
Raw
corn on the cob. And it's
keyword
amazing.
There.
It is so sweet.
It is.
I just chatted with Mr. Yoder, who brought this in from Plain City, picked last night for this morning. So you really can't even get that at our wonderful grocery stores. So this is what a farmer's market's all about. So again, we are very excited about farmers markets. We're also excited about community gardens. There's all kinds of ways to get fresh fruits and vegetables. And yes, you've got something there.
Well, that reminds me, the Near East Side Cooperative Market has a grand opening on August 10th. And if you want to learn more about that, go to info@neareastsidecoop.org. That sounds pretty exciting. They're going to be healthful foods. They're going to have prepacked bags of healthful fruits and vegetables, and they'll come in two sizes, large and small.
Well, they're already open, as a matter of fact.
Oh, they are.
That's their
this is their grand opening.
But they
okay.
are already open
okay.
From 10 to 7, Tuesdays through Saturdays. I was just learning about this.
And this is their soft opening.
This is their okay. soft opening. And indeed, this was a part of a project because, again, in some of our less affluent neighborhoods, it's hard to get a co-op going. So, in fact, some of our local health funders came up with the idea, or actually a local matters project came mm-hmm. up with the idea. They submitted it, and it won a prize. It won a contest, so to speak. And so
oh, good.
It's taken a little bit of time, but now it's up and it's up and running. But the grand opening, as you said,
August 10th.
Is August 10th, but they are open already. That's 10 to 7 Tuesdays through Saturdays.
That's 1117 Oak Street in Columbus. Well, thank you so much for joining us and dropping in on our little chat.
Well, and thank you. And actually, Ann, I know you know this, and I know you have Wellness Wednesdays
yes.
and all kinds of things, that there really is nothing like good nutrition for an foundation for a healthy life. So we want, of course, all of our moms, all of our women, all of our families, and of course, all of our kids to get the opportunity to get some of the great bounty that's right here in Ohio, our fresh fruits and vegetables. So
right.
thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Teresa Long. She's Health Commissioner for the City of Columbus. Still with me, Robin Davis from the Columbus Dispatch. We're going to go to a frozen cucumber and gin and tonic. Clifton in Columbus, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Last summer, I was going to a lot of farmers markets with my friends, and one of my friends came up with this idea. I don't know if you saw it somewhere else, but you cut a cucumber in half and, scoop out the inside to make a cup, cut off the bottom just a little bit to make it stand up and put it in the freezer for a little while, and then use that stuff you scooped out to make a puree or whatever and make your cucumber gin and tonic or whatever you want to make and, serve it in frozen stuff.
So you use the cucumbers as a shot glass, basically. You turn your cucumber into... All right.
Exactly. I don't know. I just you were talking about cucumber drinks, and I thought I'd bring that up.
Thank you. That's a really interesting
idea. That's an awesome
idea.
It is. It is. Why not use the, you know, the, and then you can eat your cup when you're done.
Exactly. It's
all
a lot
right.
of fun.
Clifton, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Leanna in Sunbury, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Leanna.
Good morning. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I have a great recipe for a green bean and tomato salad. And you take a combination of green and wax beans and blanch those. And then make a vinaigrette with a little bit of white wine or sherry vinaigrette, some olive oil, just a little bit of salt and pepper. And then add about a cup and a half of chopped tomatoes. And then after you've blanched and really chilled down those green beans and some ice water, you just put that tomato vinaigrette over top of those green beans, add a little bit of chiffonade basil that you've chiffonaded, and then also sprinkle a little bit of feta cheese over the top. And it is delicious.
That sounds fantastic. And I love the idea of adding the tomatoes to the vinaigrette to let them kind of give their flavor to the vinaigrette as well. It really kind of makes those flavors really well-rounded. I love that idea.
Yeah, and it's great because you only use about a tablespoon of vinegar and about 2 teaspoons of olive oil, and then it's really all of those juices from those delicious garden fresh tomatoes that actually make your dressing for those green beans.
Right.
Now, Leanna, is there a farmer's market up in Sunbury?
Yes, we do have a farmer's market. It's every Saturday morning from 9 to noon, and I would say it varies the number of vendors, but I would guess that there's at least 20 or so vendors every Saturday. And it's such a great small community, and it's always very busy. Lots of good produce, jams and jellies and things like that. Most of the stuff I'm using is coming from our garden just because my son, who's 9, is much more likely to eat it if he's planted it and picked it himself.
Right, you're absolutely right about that. Well, thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Once again, we're broadcasting live from the 9th Annual Columbus Public Health Department's Farmers Market at the Health Department headquarters. Join us or give us a call and share a recipe, 614-292-8513. And we're continuing in our beverage theme. We have Matt in Westerville. Hi, Matt.
Good morning there.
Good morning. What's your recipe?
Well, it's about as simple as anything. I originally used this for a picnic at the Shakespeare in the Park via the Actors Theater Group here in Columbus. Mm-hmm. You just take a watermelon, the seedless or just standard issue variety, doesn't really matter. Cut a hole in the top and in the bottom. Stick a bottle of vodka in the top and let it drain on through.
And you do mean pour the bottle in, right? Not just stick the whole bottle in.
You mean pour the contents of the bottle. Yeah, okay.
Well, kind of. What I did was actually you take the bottle and then stick it in the top of it and make sure it sits there. Because it takes quite a bit of while to actually soak and be absorbed into the watermelon. The hole in the bottom just provides kind of a drip tray to allow the fluids to actually get through and absorb down to the bottom of the watermelon.
Okay. And this is clearly a watermelon you want to keep away from your children. You don't want to confuse it with the one that you're serving to them. It's a great idea, though.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. Mark it with an X. But, Matt, thank you for your call.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye-bye. Is it Mare or Mari? Marie?
It's Mare.
Dublin? Mare. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the air.
Okay, well, I have two quick recipes that are just out of sight. One is a hot pear soup, and it's really simple to make. First, you simmer some onions and in butter. Then you take about 8 pears, skin, cook them and smush them, and put them in with the butter and onions. Add chicken broth, a half a squeezed lemon. And then the coup d'etat is ginger, fresh ginger.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. That sounds really good. I love the idea of the ginger in it because I think it really would bring all those flavors and bring a real brightness to the soup.
Yeah, and for those who don't like ginger, just I shred fresh ginger and put it on the table and they can sp- spoon whatever they like on top, because some people like it really strong.
Yeah, I'm a big ginger fan. My husband, not so much.
Yeah, I love ginger. Mm-hmm. I love it. Keep it fresh in the freezer all the time.
Absolutely.
Or frozen in the freezer, right. I should say. Now, what about this corn chowder? Because Robin and I were talking earlier that we're both lovers of corn chowder.
It is so easy. Of course, you take the corn off and put it in a pan with some butter. And then you add the milk, and then you add the cobs. That's the big secret. Because the cobs impart a wonderful flavor to the chowder. And then you continue, as you would with any chowder recipe, the potatoes or whatever else you want to put in. But the secret is letting those cobs simmer in the milk.
How long do you do that for? How long the simmer?
I don't know. Half hour.
She makes it. She doesn't write down the recipe.
She is a cook by sight,
and I get that. I do.
My recipes, you know, it's everything to taste, so I guess it's
right. Right. Well, that's a great idea, Mayor. Thanks a lot. I am definitely going to try that.
Okay, good.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I love the corn cob idea. I do that with my chowder as well. Sometimes I do that and do it a little bit longer and then take those cobs out after I've got my cooking liquid all set and then add in all the other vegetables, the corn, kernels, potatoes, whatever else you want. And something else you might want to try if you really love crab, throw that in at the very end. A crab corn soup, delicious. And bacon.
Always.
But I'd probably say that at anything.
I think it's everything. Goes better with bacon. Beth in Lancaster, you're on the air. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, good morning. I love
morning.
Your show.
Thank you.
My kids are asparagus lovers, which sounds really funny, but they'll only eat it if it's grilled. So we brush it with olive oil and sprinkle on garlic salt and basil and oregano and some Parmesan cheese and throw it on the grill, and it takes maybe like 5 minutes and then it's absolutely perfected. They absolutely love it. I have to make more and more every time I cook it. And then they like portobello mushrooms on the grill also.
Oh, so. Great. How do you do your mushrooms?
About the same with the, put olive oil and some garlic salt on them, and they're really meaty once they're done. They only take about 5 minutes or so.
Do you flip them?
Yeah. Maybe about halfway through. They're done really quick.
Mm-hmm. But wow, that asparagus recipe was...
Sounds great.
Wow. Oh, and yeah. And then in the winter, you can make them under the boiler, but that's their favorite way. They're like, are you going to make asparagus, Mom?
Hey, and that's something you can feed that to your kids every day and feel good about it.
Yep. And they're teenagers, so hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's another miracle. Well, Beth, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. The number is 614-292-8513. We're getting recipes from callers today, and they're great. We really appreciate it. So join. There aren't too many people waiting. There's plenty of time. So get your call in and share your favorite fresh produce recipe with us. 614-292-8513. Let's see. Barbara in Dublin, you're on the air. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, good morning, Ann. Appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I am calling not with the recipe, but I am calling about people who are reluctant to share their favorite recipe. We were a military family living in Germany, and this elderly lady shared something with a group of us one day, and she said, many times if you're moving, things can be misplaced and lost in transit. And if you share your recipe with relatives and friends, you can always go back and you can retrieve them from the friends and relatives. So I just wanted to share that with the reluctant people.
I think that's a great idea. Anne and I were talking about this, that sometimes we don't share recipes for various reasons. I mean, if we forget or maybe we just want to keep them close to our hearts. And for me, I just want to share them with everyone. And I love your reasoning behind it, because then it can come back when you lose it or you misplace it. And I get calls and letters from my readers all the time saying, I've misplaced this, I've misplaced that. And we have a great column in the Dispatch that where readers do share that, and they'll say, I've lost something, does anyone have it? To me, it's just that great community network of good cooks.
That reminds me, I wrote a recipe for the best carrot cake I've ever had in my life, and I made it many times, but I wrote it inside of a address book. Don't ask me why. I was young in my 20s, and I eventually lost the address book, and I've been looking for the recipe ever since.
Oh.
So that's a great idea, Barbara. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Once again, 614-292-8513. I'm talking with Robin Davis of the Columbus Dispatch, and we are eagerly awaiting your recipes. This is fun.
It's giant fun.
This is what we like to do.
We're going to sit and talk about food all
this
day.
This is fun for us. So thank you so much for helping out. Tom in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Your last caller just reminded me of a quote. I think it was George Bernard Shaw, who said, if you have an apple and I have an apple, and we both trade, we each still have an apple. But if you have an idea and I have an idea, and we both share, now we each have two ideas. I think that would apply to recipes.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I love that.
And I've got a great
You're going to have to keep that in another book.
I've got a great way to do eggplant parmesan without using any oil. What we do is we cut the eggplant into about quarter-inch circles and put them on parchment paper in the oven about 250. For an hour, sprinkled with a little salt, and that draws out most of the moisture. Then we do a beaten egg for the wash, breadcrumbs with a little bit of pepper in it, and then layer those in a big baking dish with tomato sauce and mozzarella cheese, and it does not come out mushy at all. It's delicious. Everyone we've shared that with has had great success.
That sounds really great, and it's definitely one of the biggest complaints people have about eggplant parmesan, because it tends to be heavy and oily, and that sounds like a great way to do it, to lighten it up and still keep your vegetables nice and healthy.
Right. I think when they're fried, it locks the moisture in, but by pre-baking them, you draw some of that moisture out.
Oh, it's a great idea.
Okay, so wait, I think I missed a step there. You bake them at 250 for an hour on the parchment paper. And then you use the egg
and breadcrumbs.
And then breadcrumbs. And then what do you do with them?
You layer them in a casserole dish, starting with a little bit of salt.
And that's it. Okay. Yep. All right. I got you.
Then a layer of the eggplant, then sauce and cheese, and just keep going until the dish is full or you're out of eggplant.
Oh, I love eggplant parmesan. I'm going to try this one, Tom. Thanks a lot.
I'm having it for lunch today.
Well, what time?
It's only one serving.
We're done at 12. And also, thank you for that quote. I love
it's
that quote.
It's a great quote.
Thank you for your show.
You're welcome. Take care. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation. We are talking about recipes, obviously, with fresh produce. We're at the broadcasting live from the 9th Annual Columbus Public Health Department's Farmers Market. It's at the headquarters here at 240 Parsons Avenue. There's still plenty of time. We'll be here till noon. This is the first of three markets, though, on Thursdays. So if you want more information about that, check out the link at our website at wosu.org/allsides. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the 9th Annual Columbus Public Health Farmers Market. We're at the headquarters here at 240 Parsons Avenue. We have a link at our website if you want to know more, wosu.org/allsides. With me of course, Robin Davis from the Columbus Dispatch, where she is the food editor. We've been trading recipes and with callers, and we're looking forward to getting back to some of those calls. We'll get to all the callers. But first, I want to introduce you to one of the vendors here at the Farmers Market, Donna Daig.
Yes.
She her name of her company is Cottage Garden.
Yes.
And you've been open since 1997. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All the way from Logan County, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Well, the reason why I invited you on the program, I've been here in past years, I've always picked up your salsa kit. And I wanted you to tell us about the salsa kit, what's in it, and how you make your salsa.
Okay. We grow a lot of fresh produce, and we were trying to come up with a marketing concept to give people the salsa with everything we grow. And my son-in-law and my daughter were actually the creator of this. We only grew the produce, and they came up with this packaging idea, which has everything in it to make your own salsa. You take it home, and you can either put it in a food processor or blender, or you can hand chop. But all the ingredients is in this pack to make your own fresh salsa. And the other idea with this is the kids love to help. So you're getting your children involved in fresh produce and preparing fresh food. So it's absolutely awesome with kids, and they love it.
So what's in there? We have tomatoes.
Garlic, onions, cilantro, and our little seasoning pack.
Oh, there's a special
is it,
little
is it a secret?
It's a secret. my son-in-law's a chef, and this is his recipe.
Okay. You know, this is terrific, because I think sometimes when people go to produce stands, when they go to farmers markets, they don't quite know what to buy. They may have an idea. Oh, I'm going to get tomatoes. I'm going to get this. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with it. And you've put it all together. So it's like, oh, I love salsa. I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to take it home. And you're right. Kids don't like salsa,
right,
especially if they help put it together.
They help put it together. And the other thing is, when you're shopping for the ingredients, sometimes you can't find something.
Or you forget to get something.
The garlic,
hello,
the cilantro. Yeah, yeah. So that's why it's all ready for you.
Now, there's another thing you do. You prepack meals in a box, your family packs. Why do you do that, and what do you do?
Well, it's, again, another marketing way of getting our product out there and giving people ideas. So we have a big box and a small box, and we put... they're all different. Some have cabbage, some have sweet corn. We put a variety thing. Your whole meal is in one box. And we might have some corn, some green beans, some red peppers, green peppers, cucumber, tomato, onion. You know, we just throw, and each one has different, we just fill up a box full of stuff, and then you pick out what you like. So that offers people everything in a box for their meal.
Right.
And all fresh.
Right. You're at the Worthington Market every Saturday.
Yes.
Do you do a lot of farmers markets?
Well, we do the Worthington on Saturday, and our daughter, one of our other daughters, does Easton on Thursday afternoon. And so she'll be there this afternoon. We've done other markets in the past. We helped start the Logan County Farmers Market 16, 17 years ago.
Wow.
And we enjoy the fresh produce. We enjoy... helping people with the fresh product, and we enjoy people.
Well, Donna Daig, thanks for joining us today to tell us about your stand. It's Cottage Garden.
Mm-hmm.
She's from DeGraff in Logan County, and thanks for sharing part of the recipe of your...
but not the secret spice
well,
mix.
The secret spice mix.
Thank you for having me. Okay, thank you.
Take care. Mm-hmm. That is Donna Daig of Cottage Garden. She's down here with us at the... Columbus Public Health Department's Farmers Market. We are going to turn back to our callers now and the recipes they've brought with us. And with Robin Davis of the Columbus Dispatch. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, if you have a good recipe to share with us. And Jenny, I'm intrigued. You have a lactose intolerant, or I guess a lactose free Cabrezi salad with tofu.
Oh.
Okay, tell us about this.
Well, first of all, what a great show, ladies. Thank you
so much. You're welcome.
For letting us call in. Yes, I think of Caprese salad every summer at this time because all of the heirloom tomatoes are just so amazing. And For years, I was able to enjoy a regular mozzarella, basil, tomato, Capri salad until a couple of years ago when I started developing some lactose intolerance. So last year, I had this idea that, well, tofu looks a lot like mozzarella, and if you can buy the organic, extra firm kind, it really fools your brain into thinking that you're eating mozzarella. So
really?
I made a Capri salad one day. I just took my extra firm late tofu. I squeezed out a little bit of the water. I cut it into 1-inch chunks. I tossed it with a Mr. Stripey tomato, some salt and pepper and balsamic vinegar, and a whole lot of basil. And I'm telling you, you got to try it. It's delicious. And it's a lot lower in fat than a regular mozzarella would be. And you get all the protein benefits of the soy. So
I think that's a great idea. You know, there are a lot of people who are sensitive to a number of different things, but definitely sensitive to dairy products. And what a great idea, what a great alternative to using fresh mozzarella cheese. And you're right, you know, the textures of fresh mozzarella and tofu could be very, very similar. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
Yeah, it totally fools your brain, and it tastes really very good. So give it a try. You won't be disappointed.
Jenny, do you use Facebook? Jenny, do you use Facebook?
I used to. I was a Facebookaholic for a while, and I had to delete my account.
Okay. All right. I was going to say post it on our Facebook page, but thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Ian in Columbus,
yeah, you're
on the air with Robin Davis of the Columbus Dispatch. Welcome.
Hello. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good. A friend of mine told me about a drink, a really good cocktail that I like to make in the summer. It's you take fresh basil. I'm a huge basil freak. I absolutely love it. You take a few basil leaves, cut them up real small, some lime juice, and you kind of muddle that in the bottom of your glass. And then you take probably about 2 ounces of Bombay Sapphire and maybe about 3 or 4 ounces of pineapple juice, and just a squirt of simple syrup, and you kind of shake that in your cocktail shaker and strain that out. And that's a really good kind of afternoon cocktail I like to have.
Oh, I love that. And my basil this year is going crazy.
Mine is good, too, this year.
I can't use it fast enough. I swear it starts growing the minute I cut it. I love the idea of using it in a cocktail.
I love the idea of muddling with it.
You have to watch out too, because it's a little sweet and a lot stronger than you usually think.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for that idea, Ian.
Sure thing.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I am looking for my 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. But let's get to some more. Hi, Mary D. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call. I could listen to this topic all day, all week long. I recently read about a recipe, and before doing it, I want to ask your opinion. It's an avocado, taking the seed out, taking some of the meat out of the avocado, placing the egg in it, and then baking it at 180 until the egg is to your liking. Wondered if you ever tried it, because I don't want to waste a great avocado.
Uh-huh. Good question.
I have heard about doing that. I haven't done it myself because I'll tell you, if there's one food I just am not wild about, it's avocados. I don't see a reason that it wouldn't work. Do you put cheese on top? You put cheese on top of it too, don't you?
That was not in the recipe, but I was thinking of salsa after the one lady you just interviewed. I thought that would be delicious.
That's what I would probably put Parmesan on. I mean, my only concern about baking it, you know, avocados turn that unappealing shade of brown. And so that might be my only concern. But other than that, I mean, baked eggs are great.
Avocado is great. I love avocado.
Unless you're me.
Unless you're Robin. Okay.
So,
I'll go ahead and try it. I'll post it on my Facebook and let you know how it turns out. Thank you so much.
That would be fantastic.
Angel.
Thank you, Mary D.
Okay, ciao.
Bye-bye. Jerry in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Oh, it's Gary.
Gary. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
It's okay. I love this topic. Me and my family go to farmer markets every weekend. It's absolutely great for the kids to not only, see the plants and everything, but, when you take it home, you grow it and they get to pick it and, eat it. And you make recipes with it, the new vegetables. The herb that we tried that was really surprising was stevia. Eat a stevia leaf, it tastes just like sugar. It's absolutely amazing.
Stevia. Stevia leaves. Yeah, I haven't worked with the actual leaves myself. I mean, there's the artificial, well, it's not artificial, but the non-sugar sweetener that's out there now that you can find, and it's very intensely sweet. Where'd you find the leaves here in Columbus?
We were at the farmer's market in Powell, and the lady there, we have like three or four of the plants at home, and we just use them like in the morning for our morning shake, where we use blueberries, strawberries, bananas, and to put a little bit more sweetener in it, we just put a little bit of that stevia in it, and it's good for drinks. It's just amazing how sweet it is. But I was really calling on my lentil recipe.
Okay.
It's a very quick recipe. We got some leeks. We got, some carrots. You chop the leeks up. You saute them along with the carrots for a little bit. You use 3 cups of chicken broth. We're vegan. We don't, eat any animal products, so we use a chicken broth. And again, when you saute them, you don't have to saute them in oil. We just use, a little bit of water. Once the, bottom of the pan caramelizes, you put a little bit of water on it, and that caramelization kind of flavors up the dish. You add a couple lentils along with that chicken broth, and you just let that simmer down. Once it cooks for about 40 minutes, you add some balsamic vinaigrette and some chopped up tomatoes you got from the farmer's market, and it's a very easy dish. You can eat it with rice, and the kids absolutely love it.
That sounds delicious. It does. So you're cooking the lentils just until they're tender, but still holding their shape, right? You're not getting them mushy. You're using it almost like a salad.
Yeah. Well, you can cook them until they get mushy. It's really to your preference. You can cook them until they're soft. I like to leave them on. You can cook them right when they're done, and you can also leave them on a very low heat and let it simmer all day, and have it for dinner. In the evening, if you wanted to, slow cook it as well, if you're on a time crunch.
I love it. Love okay. It. Sounds like a great idea.
Thank you, Jerry.
And again, it's Gary.
Oh, God darn it. You know what? They wrote down Jerry, so I'm like a trained monkey. Sorry about that.
And one more thing. My wife also does a blog. It's vegankidskitchen.blogspot.com. So, if you have any ideas, a lot of times, when we go to a farmer's market and have all these vegetables, we need ideas on how to cook them. It's a great way to, look and get some ideas.
Well, Jerry, post that on our Facebook page, okay?
I will, definitely. And awesome, right. Sean, listen to you every day.
Thank you, Gary. I am trainable. Take care. Oh, boy, I want to squeeze in one more. We have just about a few minutes, and maybe one more after that if I can. Randy in Columbus, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm a big roast person. Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Okay, I didn't hear anything. It's kind of quiet there. I'm a big meat eater. I love to eat my meat, and my wife made a roast, and she made it with a can of Coke.
Oh, yeah. Did she do it in the slow cooker?
No. We just baked it in the oven with a can of Coke. We took a can of Coke and mixed it with one can of cream of mushroom soup and dumped it over the roast at 375 degrees. And it's the most tender roast and tasty roast you will ever eat in your entire life. You don't even need a knife.
You had me until you talked about the cream of mushroom soup. I've heard of cooking it with Coke. That's an old Southern trick. They do Coke or root beer, and, you do ribs that way and roast that way. I've never heard of doing it, though, adding the cream of mushroom soup. That could definitely give it a different flavor, a different texture.
Okay, Randy, I thank you for your call. I want to move on, though, and get one more in. So, Brian in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. We have just about a minute.
Got it. Well, Donna being on the call or on the show reminded me of something. I think I'm pretty sure it was she and her husband turned us on to, which is they take fresh popcorn on the cob, and this only works with if it's on the cob, but you can put it inside of a lunch bag and then microwave it, and it makes this really amazingly good microwave popcorn, and it is a good drizzle with olive oil or something like that, and tastes just really, really good. So if you get a chance to try that, I do want to caution everybody any unpopped kernels that are stuck to the cob will be really, really hot. So don't touch those. Handle it by the part that's already popped. Anyhow, but it's really good. So if you find any fresh popcorn at the farmer's market, buy those and then just take one cob, put it in the bottom of a bag, microwave it for about a minute, and it makes great, great popcorn on the cob. You'll be amazed.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, this has been great as usual.
As always.
Robin Davis, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. I'm going to go shop now here at this market.
Exactly. There's a ton of stuff to buy and look at. That's Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We're broadcasting live once again from the 9th Annual Columbus Public Health Department's Farmers Market at 240 Parsons Avenue. Everyone is welcome. Check out our link at wosu.org/allsides for more information. And thanks so much for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.